Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you very much. Hello, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. We're also happy to welcome back Tina Thompson to our broadcast booth. It's the way they call it in the sports world, our booth. Actually, we're in a studio. But in any event, Tina was with us last week. She is a certified executive coach, and she is the founder of Epiphany Leadership Development and Coaching. She's based in West Palm Beach, Florida. It is a leadership coaching organization dedicated to empowering and evoking excellence in others, which is obviously something that everybody can use. As she points out, if we learned anything from the pandemic, it's that the only thing that matters is that leaders are compassionate and can step in another person's shoes. And if you can't do that, then you can't lead. The main struggle, Tina points out, is how people show up every day. Her approach is called blended coaching. That is a little bit of advice, a little bit of consulting, and then a lot of coaching. And she asks some very powerful questions to extract the very best out of her clients. She says people know what they need to do. The coach is the only there to hold up the mirror for them. By the way, prior to establishing Epiphany, Tina has held numerous senior corporate positions, including CEO of a national organization and the global director of a global women's entrepreneur organization. So she is and has been a CEO, and she says that was the epiphany. She needs to share what she has been through with others, particularly women, because she never wants any woman to go through what she had to go through herself. She's the author of an extraordinary book called Good Souls, Bad Souls, and Assholes. I don't know if we can say that here. Can we say that? Yeah, we can say that. Well, we already said it. It's too late. Anyway, that's the name of the book, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Tina's background, and she's got a great sense of humor. In any event, Tina, it's welcome back to you. It's really a delight to have you back with us again. So we welcome. Good morning to you. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks yourself, Doug. Thank you for having me.
Listen, it's such a pleasure to have you here. Let's talk a little bit about what you went through, because I love the way you put it. You don't want another woman or other women to have to go through what you had to go through, and I assume that means in the corporate ladder structure in your business work. Is that right?
Jim, it's a bit of both, you know. It's what I've been through personally as well as in the world of work. So, yes, definitely is the ladder one climbs, but also, you know, what I've been through personally.
Well, let's talk a little bit about it because, you know, when somebody is thinking about calling a coach because they want help, it always helps to know what the coach has been through themselves, whether, they've spent years in the executive suite and they know all about that world, or whether they were there helping other people in their personal lives. It doesn't matter. But it always helps to learn a little bit more about your coaching and then why you became a coach. Obviously, that's a big story there in itself. And the bottom line is how you help people who come to you now. And I'm sure your coaching has been different this year because of the COVID. You probably have done everything, you know, virtually rather than in person. Although I'm sure you like to work with people in person. Let's talk about your story. Tell me a little bit about it. Where are you from? You have a very interesting accent. Tell me about it.
Sure, Jim. So I'm actually South African, born and bred. I've been in the U.S. for 10 years. And my heritage is Greek. So that's why you are hearing a very mixed accent. And, of course, a lot of my training was with the British Trinity College of London. So it's a real mishmash.
Well, it's a lovely accent. I love your accent. So just know that, okay? We're glad to hear you talk.
Thank you so much.
So keep going.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, so, you know, you've asked a couple of questions there. I think what is most pertinent is that, you know, having grown up in a very patriarchal society, in a patriarchal culture, you know, so the Greek within the South African, and then, you know, at a very young age of 21, getting divorced with a 10-month-old baby, I had to get into the world of commerce to make a living. And so, as a young girl, I didn't have dreams of a big career. I thought I'd get married and live happily ever after. But, of course, life doesn't always work out that way. And so, you know, my career that has now spanned over 44 years, giving my age away, has been very varied and across various industries. I am one of those individuals that gives 150%, often to my detriment. But, you know, it wasn't planned. However, you know, the good Lord has good plans for us. And I was able to climb that proverbial ladder over the years and then experience what it is to be a woman at a board table where, yes, you are the only one. And it's extraordinarily challenging, but also, you know, some really great lessons learned. And so, you know, in 2008, which of course was a dramatic year for the entire world, when I found myself with an empty nest, so my son had been headhunted to come to the U.S. and we had been and still are very, very close, and so that impacted me hugely. The fact that I had just broken off a relationship with a man that I adored, and the third biggie was that I had blown the whistle on the organization I was working in, and my life was in danger, hectically so. You know, I'm not using that figuratively. I literally had to, you know, have a bodyguard for 3 months and go underground. So,
really?
At that point,
you say, let me ask you a quick question there. You said you had to blow the whistle. That was something wrong going on, and you exposed it to authorities?
Yes. Yes, there was corruption going on. It was quite frightening. But at that stage, I reached out to my mentor, and I said, okay, you followed my career, but now what? And the answer was, you need to coach executives. And at the time, so 2008, you know, coaching wasn't what it is today. And also, many, many people were all of a sudden becoming coaches, and I didn't want that. But my mentor very wisely said, look, go and get, you know, accreditors, do the work, and then share these remarkable experiences that you've had. Now, whilst I do focus on leadership and on the workplace, I know better than anyone else that we are all whole human beings. And so, you know, whilst I don't do life coaching, it absolutely becomes part of the coaching session. And I always allocate an hour and a half to a coaching session, because that first half an hour is my client sharing life because it absolutely impacts their performance in the workplace. And so, you know, that is really how I became a coach. And yet I do believe that I've been coaching for decades. in my blood. I'm an Ithacan, so the Greek island of Ithaca, where the word mentor comes from. You know, the great Homer's Odyssey, Odysseus left his son with his trusted right-hand man, whose name was Mentor. And so, you know, I just feel that my background as a teacher and then this inborn want to pass on the know-how, not knowledge. It's not anything you can find in a textbook or at a business school. It's that sharing, and hence me being a blended coach and not pure coaching. Blended, you know, able to offer advice as opposed to pure coaching, where it's merely asking those powerful questions.
So, in other words, you give advice on life based on your experiences, and obviously you've been through it. You've been through the mill, so to speak, as well as advice for those who are in the corporate world and trying to succeed in that arena. So that you can help them in a little bit of every aspect of their life, and that's what your goal is. Help them out. Is that right?
It is. It's a support. So the focus would be on the executive. So what is expected of them? What is the strategy? What are the challenges? But obviously, the personality of the leader that's being coached is going to come to the fore. So yes, that's when the personal comes in, and I'll always ask, you know, may I share what I've experienced? And I won't ever go into areas that I haven't experienced. It's one of my own values. And I will stick to that. You know, I really like various organizations that kind of lay down the law that say, you know, don't talk about, being insolvent if you haven't gone through a bankruptcy yourself. Don't talk about a divorce unless you've gone through it yourself. There's a lot of value in that, so that you can identify as opposed to just bringing theoretical suggestions.
You know, I want to point out something here. You wrote a book, and I read the title on the air. And your book obviously is pretty powerful. But there's a review of this book where it points out the book, it's more than a book and more than a random collection of your stories. It's kind of the manifesto of a Renaissance woman who refused to allow any setback to handicap her destiny. You have the gumption, the backbone, the intellect, and the velvet chainsaw to cut to the heart of the matter of any situation in a nanosecond. And the advice is, if you're lacking in fortitude, faith, and the favor of God, by the time you put this book down, you will have a fire lit within you that will burn out any doubt in yourself or anyone around you. That's a pretty powerful couple of sentences. And that really is all talking about you and what you do. You can get to the heart of a matter of any situation in a nanosecond. I think that's great. Is that right?
It is.
It is.
And it's obviously a gift, but it's also the lived experience that I mentioned earlier.
Exactly.
You know, whether that's, fortunate or unfortunate, it is a fact that very quickly I can see a situation and hear, you know, and listen very carefully and often to what is not said, okay, and reading the body language and being able to go straight to the point. The time is valuable.
Let's talk about the kind of people who come to you. You've been doing this now. 2008 was a big year. When did you come to the States? You said 10 years ago. Was that right? Yes. Or am I wrong?
Yes, 2011.
10 years
correct.
Ago. So technically, how long have you been coaching? Although I know you say you think you've been coaching most of your life, but technically, when did you hang out your shingle?
Formally in 2008. So
in 2008,
that
okay.
Time, that, yes. That was an accreditation that I did that was South African. Thereafter, I did one in Europe, and most recently, 2 years ago, I did a global certification. And those are just to remain relevant, you know, and see if there's anything new in the coaching world. I feel it's very important to stay up to date because the world of work changes so fast.
Yeah, no question about that. Interestingly, do you find that coaching is you know, it's grown really big here in the States. Do you find that coaching is becoming big in, like, for example, South Africa and other countries? Are coaches cropping up there, too, as well?
Yes, very much so. In fact, incredibly, and in countries you wouldn't even think, are they kind of classified as developing countries, and yet they have got coaches of all caliber. I think the world has required that, you know, all of us start to up our games. You know, you've got to think differently. You've got to start to explore the three brains that we all have, you know, not just the head. And I think that in former years, so much emphasis was placed on, you know, on the knowledge, on the school you went to, on the qualifications you have. And yet, you know, science now is talking about, you know, the heart brain and the gut brain. So many, many coaches are focusing also holistically on each human being.
Well, let's talk about you as a coach. By the way, we're talking with Tina Thompson. She's back with us again this week. She has a great website, and if you're interested in getting in touch with Tina or learning more about her, the way to find out about it is to go to her website. And her website is simply Tina, T-I-N-A, hyphen, Thompson, T-H-O-M-S-O-N. Don't spell it wrong with a P or you'll get a website that's all German, so you don't want that. Tina Thompson, thompson.com. Tina, let's talk about the number one. I'm really intrigued about how you get people to come to you. For people who are listening to us and thinking, geez, I'd like to be a coach, you know, and Tina really inspires me. Do you just hang out a shingle and put up something on the website? Is that how you attract people? It's not easy to start, is it?
It's not easy to start, Jim, and there, you know, many of the institutions that one can, you know, achieve an accreditation for coaching will support with ways in which to attract clients. I've been very blessed that mine have all been through word of mouth, and it's amazing. So that's how I've managed to get clients.
Okay.
And, yes.
Well, good. You refer to me as Jim every now and then. You talked to Jim last week. I'm Doug, but that's okay.
My apologies, Doug. Oh, Doug.
Don't worry about it. Let's talk about the people who come to you. What are most of them looking for? Are they mostly looking for corporate help, business help? Are they looking for life lessons from you? Because you've got a lot of life lessons to explore with them. How would you answer
right.
that? And I assume it's women. You focus mostly on women, right?
I do because
yeah.
I can identify, you know, for that sure. reason. But I do I do coach men as well. I enjoy a one-on-one coaching. I have done group coaching, but mine is preferably one-on-one. And it really is leadership. That's the subject that they are attracted to my particular blended coaching. It's because many people have been put into leadership positions because they are phenomenal individual contributors, but they have not been equipped to lead, and that's a whole different skill set. And so they do find themselves in hot water, and many of them then reach out to me to say, okay, you know, these are the challenges, this is what's happening with my team, this is how, you know, I'm handling it, but I'm not winning. How can I improve what I'm doing?
Do me a favor. Let me explore some experiences that you've had with some of your clients. I always ask a coach like you who has had such vast experience to give me, for example, a success story or two of some people who've come to you, clients who've come to you, no names, but just examples, who had, you know, unique situations that you were really able to help them with. And I assume, you know, you don't do this overnight with someone. It takes a period of time working with them. Could be a period of weeks, could be a period of months, even could be longer than that. But give me what you would consider a success story example. Could you do that?
Sure, I can. You're absolutely correct, Doug. It does take months, okay, because initially the trust has to be built up. You know, at executive level, everything is confidential, particularly the dynamics within the leadership team, because often leaders, you know, have their wings clipped by a CEO or, you know, if it's the CEO themselves, you know, they're answering to a board and you know, have to do so within parameters. So the process is gradual. And an example I can give you, which really hit home hard with me, was a C-suite individual. It was a man who originally came to me to hone his skills on actually managing the team. He had had 360-degree feedback that, you know, he was far too, he micromanaged the team. And, you know, he took that feedback harshly and said, you know, how do I change this? What do I do? And 3 or 4 sessions into, I think it was the 4th session into our coaching, he said to me, you know, there's something that I'd love to talk about, and he hesitated and stopped. By the 6th session, I started to recognize that actually he was going to be in a situation that he'd have to speak up. It wasn't a whistleblowing in terms of finance, but it was whistleblowing. And the challenge for me was that it triggered all sorts of emotions in me, which you can't bring to a coaching situation. It's just not professional and it's not the done thing. But I talked him through the whole situation, which, you know, I could see him lighten up each time we met, and we changed the meetings from, you know, every 2 weeks to every week. And, you know, played through scenarios of, okay, so if you spoke up about XYZ, this could happen, that could happen, are you prepared to face those consequences? And ultimately, he worked through it all and did blow the whistle, lost his job, because unfortunately that's what happens. Instead of being applauded, whistleblowers are ostracized. But he'd done the right thing. And the success of it was that, you know, 6 months later, he contacted me and said, you know, my whole life is different. I was going to actually lose my family because of the state I was in every day, carrying this burden. I've now released it. And by the way, I've been offered a phenomenal job, and I'm so grateful that we met and were able to talk this through. So that was a big one for me.
That's a great story. That's a great story, obviously. Listen, time is flying by here. I want to talk about your book. As I said before, and I mentioned, it's Good Souls, Bad Souls, and Assholes. I got to ask you, were you considered about wondering about putting that that word on the title of the book, knowing that, you know, hopefully this is going to get onto the bookshelves in Barnes & Noble and bookstores like that all over the country? Did you think about it very much or ask for advice? What were you told?
Doug, first of all, the book is recognizing people who've played an important role in my life. And,
right.
and gratitude to them, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The preface actually has the whole story about the title, and it was almost supernatural the way I came up with that title and how it was endorsed by a very spiritual man. So it's quite eerie. And I just thought, you know, I'm not writing this book to sell it and make my name or make money. I'm writing this book so that future generations of my family will know why I made the various choices that I did make. And there are many. You know, I've been married twice. I've been divorced twice. I've been held at gunpoint twice. there's a lot that has gone into that and why I also moved companies as often as I did. I have an incredible ability to stay steady on the values that I have that are unchanging. And you know, there's many, but, you know, to name a few, it's my faith, my family, and fairness. One thing that gets me from 0 to 100 in a split second is injustice.
Yeah.
And so I decided that I'm going to write this book because I'd also had a health scare. And for many, many years, you know, my family would say, oh, you need to write a book, you need to write a book. And we'd joke about it. And with each crisis I had, they'd say, there's another chapter of the book, you know. And then I'd done quite a lot of public speaking on business ethics at the time. And two people who don't even know each other, I have since connected them, but they didn't know one another in the early 2000s. Both prophesied that I would write a book that would support people to change their lives and to give them hope. And so I just stuck with the title and I wrote the book. I wrote it very quickly because those stories were all there and real. Yes.
We're running out of time. I want to point out it's a great book title. It's a real book. Anyway, as I mentioned before, it's Good Souls, Bad Souls, and Assholes. And it's by Tina Thompson. It's available, obviously, on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble. And it's Tina's story from her life. And she has been through a lot, folks, as you have heard here. And I'm sure it's a gripping book. I think it sounds like a really fascinating book. Tina, thank you for being back with us again today. I love chatting with you. And, again, your website is Tina-Thompson, T-H-O-M-S-O-N.com. Thank you so much for being with us. It's been great having you as a guest. Okay? Thank you,
ma'am. Thank you, Doug. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. All right. Take care. Have a lovely day, Tina. Thank you for being with us.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
Well, that's it for another day, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. I'll see you next time. Till then, take care and be safe. Bye.